Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I am Alex.
I'm Justin.
And we are coming to you live from the New York Comic Con con floor at the IDW booth. They have a lovely side section where we just get to hang out. Shouts to the IDW about that.
Beautiful carpeting, lovely table, and that's it. No guests, just us sitting here in carpet.
No, we have guests. We have two amazing guests for you. We have Tim Seeley and Farrell Pett, the writer and artist, respectively, of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Godzilla, which comes out November 12th. Guys, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us. I've been here before. This is new for you.
This is my first time.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Well, we're very excited to talk about this book. This is awesome. Just to start off, Tim, for you, you've done a couple of mashups, not just Turtles mashups, but in general.
Yeah.
What's your approach? Like, when you're when they hand you, like, two properties, TMNT, Godzilla, yeah, what do you start with? Like, what is fun, the emotional thrust? What's the first step?
I mean, how do you get in Godzilla's head?
Well, it's like with this one in particular, it seemed like it's something that should have happened before. It was like, wait, this has never been done? That seemed weird.
Because
to me.
They're both green.
Well, yeah, they're both green.
I mean, they're in ponds. They're reptiles.
Yeah, right, you know, they all do. But then I remember, it's because there's an episode of the cartoon where they fought Gargonzola. So I was like, oh, that's right. That's why I was thinking about that. But for this one, I think I tried to take it as, you know, what do they share? What is the thing that unifies both, whether it's thematically or that they're both green? Or whatever kind of thing that I can find, like, what's the thread that carries them together? And for this, it is also, like, there's going to be toys. So I got to think about what is the maximum amount of toys I can give both the readers and the people who are going to turn these into the toy company, right? That's part of the job. So, yes, I definitely approach it with, like, philosophy and story, but also what is going to be an awesome action figure? That is the other way I approach it.
And that is a business choice, but also got to be an exciting personal choice to like, we're going to get action figures out of all this stuff?
Oh, absolutely. That's partly why I sometimes take these, like the Turtles and Masters of the Universe one, that we got action figures. And now I have them in my house. They are on a shelf. It was the right reason to do that book. I got the figures. They are very cool. But just in general, I think it's always just like, what is the heart, the shared soul thing that we can go through? Like, think about it, the character stuff, but also it's got to be awesome.
Well, Farrell, for you then, I'm very curious about the toyetic nature of this book. Are you working with the toy manufacturers on the designs? Are you working off the designs? Are you feeding them designs? How does that work?
No, when they announced the project to me, that they already have the design for the turtles, but we are, I don't know, maybe they could do...
They're pretty loose. They kind of let us... We get toys. Yes. We get designs. We have to get there, sort of. But there's no, like, make sure this is an issue, too, or anything. Like, So it's a suggestion of which we are happy to follow. It's like, oh, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
So this story is set in... you mentioned all the characters. There's a lot of extra characters here.
Yes.
Specifically from the cartoon. Right. What made you start there as the base reality?
I think it's good, like the toy and the cartoon stuff is in my head is like that's the place where you could also bump into Godzilla. Like if I go and try to make it like the 80s Turtles comic, or if I try to make it, you know, the modern one, I'm not quite sure how to combine that with Godzilla. But the version that had like animation designs and Playmates figures, which were like, you know, Mondo Gecko and, you know, just every kind of toy version you can think of, that seemed like the place where you would also be bumping into Godzilla. Like, that made total sense to me. So it's kind of the other thing I try to do with the crossover stuff is, like, find the sort of universal version of the thing. Because you don't want to do a crossover with like it doesn't look like the characters, you know? Like I remember as a kid, they do like a crossover with Spider-Man and Backlash or something, you know, and but they would use the wrong Spider-Man design. And you'd be like, this doesn't
you're
feel
like... You're tearing your comic in half at home. Frustrated
like,
kid.
Like, yeah, I want the real characters, you know? So for this, it's like the distilled universal approach to Ninja Turtles. It's every Ninja Turtles thing is on the table, but we use the one that works best for, you know, the visuals and vibe we're going for.
I mean, Pharaoh, to talk about it from your perspective, how do you hit that then? How do you meld these two different worlds?
Yeah, it was like, I always strike when I draw, because I'm more like a Ninja Turtles guy, and I was like, I tried to draw the Ninja Turtles I would like to see, like, the design that I will buy this comic. And this time that we have something like the animation, but I tried to give it my perspective, so there's no like the Saturday Morning Adventures comic that is very, very close to the TV show, and they have something that I think it could work with Godzilla too, like no, a little more realistic and cartoony at the same time, yeah.
But Donatello has goggles, so it's a little different. Johnny's got goggles, and that's how you know it's the Feral Pay version. That's very important.
Yeah, that's your signature move. That's goggles,
the
signature.
Right? Goggles on.
That's
stuff.
Why you're wearing so many pairs of goggles here at this interview.
Right,
real goggle guy. I was super excited to see the Technodrome, all of that. One of my favorite. I have a Krang T-shirt that I am not wearing right now, but love Krang. But you also get into some mythology here, getting back into the Orokusaki stuff, Free Shredder. And, of course, Splinter is a rat just hanging out at the beginning.
Yes. Yeah.
So talk about starting there with Godzilla.
Well, I definitely want to do, you know, the thing that would make it interesting to me is the Japanese connection as well. Obviously, Tokyo is the setting for the Toho monster stuff. And that's also a connection for the Turtles, right? They, you know, the origin of the Foot Clan happens there. And that was also a chance to kind of do the stuff of Turtles I haven't got to do before, which is the very ninja-y stuff, right? Like, the martial arts part. And we really wanted to push, like, in trying to make it make sense that they can fight each other, like, play up the fact that the original idea of kind of the Foot Clan, they're kind of a mystical martial arts clan.
Right.
So we had to go, you know, back to the original dojo of the Foot Clan. And we had to go to Odo Island as well. Like, we use all the stuff that's sort of shared between both of them. So it picks up all the things that I need. Like, I just, if it was important to the story, I make it seem like it was always there. That's the cheat. You're just like, yes, of course. That, of course they've known each other.
Oh, God.
Of course they do. Yes.
Well, but I love that approach because I feel like there was a whole period when we'd have crossovers where you'd have to go through the mechanics
portal,
of the portal. Exactly.
Which I hate that. I know. I've joked with this with James Tynan because I loved his Turtles Batman stuff. But right. I was like, why don't the Turtles and Batman just live in the same place? He's like, yeah, but that doesn't make sense because, you know, how would they have not met before? He's like, I don't know. I know there's people I have never met. there are some. You
Batman's
know?
In the sewers a little bit, but
yeah,
not
right,
all the time.
Not all the time. You know?
It's a big city, a lot of pipes.
Right. Right, exactly. They could have passed like pipes in the night. Whatever, you know?
Maybe they ordered from two different pizza places.
Yeah.
Right?
They just
Killer
never
Croc knows the Turtles.
Oh, yeah,
he's hunted the Turtles,
right,
but Batman.
Yeah. So that's how I do all crossover things. It's just that we've always lived in the same universe. Like it's the cheat. And I did in Masters of the Universe Turtles too, where it was just like, you know, there's a bar in there that is in the Turtles comic or cartoon, which had all the villains would go to. And if you look at that one, it's like all the bad guys, Mumra, everybody's like in the background. So I just assume they all have always been in the same place. And that helps me as a sort of a OCD person. Well, clearly that's what it was. Clearly they were always in the same place.
Well, it goes back to what you're saying about, like, I want the real characters here.
Yeah.
And it can't be the real ones unless they all are
right.
real. They have to all be real.
Exactly. That's it, yes.
But with that in mind, do you think Shredder ever looks at Splinter and is like, I knew you when you were a rat.
Oh, yeah.
Why should I should have just squeezed
you down right there. Yeah. It would have been over.
Yeah.
You're done. Yeah.
No turtle.
That's his biggest regret.
I killed that rat that my friend had on his shoulder all the time.
This is somewhat getting into spoilers, but I do think if it's okay to set this up, one of the things that you do because they exist in the world is the Foot Clan are a check on kaijus. That's essentially how it's set up. And that's not much of a spoiler because it's the first scene.
It's the first page.
I wanted to ask you about that visually because I was so struck by that sequence. And I know this isn't going to be out for a couple of weeks as we're taping it, But it's this really awesome sequence on the beach with the Foot Clan facing down Godzilla. And not to keep talking about Splinter, but like this super tiny Splinter. So you're playing with scale a lot in that sequence, from tiny rat to enormous kaiju. What was important to capture there?
Well, I try to show what I like to see, and yeah. I went to, when I read it, the double page spread Godzilla, just Godzilla, so I need to make him look big, yeah. enormous, like he's going to fight with these tiny ninjas. It's impossible, but
we'll make it work.
Yeah, so that's what I'm trying to always show, that.
Well,
something
scale, that's
like,
the toughest part, just Godzilla in general in comics, is that you can't, like, you've got a panel. A panel has to already be constrained. It's already, there's eight on a page. So picking the spot where you're going to show us the scale and stuff, you know, you have to be really judicious about it. But with Pharaoh, it's like, I know he's going to kill it on the spread, so I'm just writing him as many as I possibly could. But also, I have a bunch of little-ass characters, so you have to have little, like, insets to show what they're doing and stuff. So it kind of became the way we did it. Here's a big ass shot of the monsters, and then here's the turtles, little insets around doing cool stuff. It kind of like became the tool to show.
And I think like you are an artist too, so you know, like you're good. You're very good. So you know how to show like a bigger panel for a big Godzilla and small panel for the characters. So you are thinking visually too when you are writing the
Yeah, I'm
just
trying
script,
to save
yeah.
you from having some of the scripts I've had where, you know, someone asks for, like, and there's six characters in one panel, but also there's eight panels on that page. So just so you know, and like, it's miserable. I would
just so you know, this is impossible.
Yeah, right. yeah.
And here
so
it's
I
yours.
Tried real hard to make sure I didn't give you any of the torture that I would have received. If I, you know.
Buddies, this is friendship right here.
right.
But I will say it really works in this book. I feel like so many Godzilla comics, it's like, you know, you see, it's all slow build, and you see the, like, Jurassic Park shaking glass, and it's like, to have it be such an arresting page so early in the book, I thought was really, like you're saying, Alex, like, it was really striking and beautiful to just get that.
We also learned the lesson of, you know, in the crossovers, you don't need to be subtle. There's no subtlety needed.
Exactly.
You just want to see them in the same page doing cool shit together. That's all you care about. Why make you wait? You know, like, I don't have to be, you know, very literary or anything. It's just, it's Ninja Turtles and Godzilla doing stuff, guys. That's like, it's really, that's all you need to know, you know?
Obviously, you get to kind of dream it up and put whatever you want in there, but was there a moment or a mashup or something like that that you were particularly like, oh, I can't wait to get to that thing, either from the writing or the drawing perspective?
I mean, Jet Jaguar, I was waiting that, when it happens in the book, I was waiting so hard to put Jet Jaguar in there, because that design is so cool. But obviously, Donatello, as a guy who has a metalhead at home, you know, like, there was a good connection to, like, use that. So definitely, we were calling him Jet Metal, right? Because he's metalhead, like Jet Metal. That was pretty cool. And then Shredder and Mechagodzilla, that I'm really proud of. That one's super cool. How we set that up and then how you're going to draw it, it's going to be awesome.
For me, like, the moment, like, I think, like, my best moment right now is like when they're approaching in the Pelagius. So when I read that, oh, this is going to be great. Yeah. I feel that moment. Because we're doing like many cool pages, but that one is like, I put all my effort in this one and make it look great. This is going to be the
that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
And when we were working on it, I kept sending Pharaoh reference. If you ever remember the Walt Simonson Thor issue, where Thor fights the Midgard serpent.
Yeah.
And how it, like, you know, there's the one issue which is all splashes, but there's also, like, little panels, like, you know, how he figured out the scale of how to make that work. So I kept sending you pages. I was scanning my issues, like, taking them apart. Like, this is how we're going to do that fight. It's going to be big. It's going to be, like, you know, huge action lines and all that kind of approach to it, which, thank you, Walt Simonson. We stole from you for this one just a little bit.
I feel like Godzilla is having... Why is Godzilla having such a moment right now? Especially in comics, Godzilla
really
is
having a moment.
Everywhere.
Yeah. I think it's because, as just a theory, you know, like, slasher movies are always popular when there's, like, a conservative administration in the U.S. because kids feel like they're being punished for things that they would do anyway, you know? So, like, right? So, like, all of a sudden slasher movies become popular, like, you know, during Reagan years and during all that sort of thing. I think now everybody in the world kind of feels like things are out of control and we're being punished for everything by the world, you know?
That's being punished for being just alive right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's the Godzilla thing, right? Like,
wow, that's really
smart.
So
there's
smart.
Like,
yeah.
There's the, you know, you kind of, but the safety of, I'm going to go read a Godzilla story or I'm going to watch a Godzilla movie, and it ends. I can feel scared and, oh God, everything's out of control and this giant force of nature is coming after us, you know, and it's fate and destiny and all those things together, but then at the end, it's over. And in the real world, it doesn't end. It just keeps on going. So yeah. I think there's like, and you think of like the eras that, you know, Godzilla was popular too. It's like the 50s.
Yeah, makes sense.
The 80s.
Wow. You know?
It's always the way that things kind of shake out, you know?
Yeah, the 50s, the 80s, and today, the best music. There you go.
That's also when punk music thrives.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Before we let you go, is there anything else either of you would like to plug? Obviously, we're here to talk about this book, but anything else you want to throw out there that people should be checking out from you?
Anything Carol? You want to plug?
Yeah, that I hope that people... I know there's a lot of expectation for this book, and I'm really surprised. I don't know, like, I expect, like, oh, no, another crossover with Godzilla.
Yeah.
But the people, like, oh, wow, Godzilla Ninja Turtle, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm really happy for that. I hope that people enjoy it. We enjoy doing it and having so much fun. So there you can expect, like, a lot of action, ninja stuff, many, many double-page spreads.
That's all he really cares about. He's like, I got double-page spreads.
Yeah.
Everything else, I don't give a shit. But those
really
double-page spreads,
that
really did it. And then we also have the monthly Godzilla book, the Kaisei Era.
Yes.
Issue 2 just came out, and so issue 3, I think, is sometime around the next few weeks. And I feel like we're really cooking on that book now, too. We're getting it all together. The world's all figured out. So if you're feeling the stress of the world and you need to vent some Godzilla, we have plenty of Godzilla for you. That's, yeah.
Awesome. Tim, Farah, thank you so much for coming on. Great chatting with you. Book is awesome. Can't wait to read the rest of it.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
See you guys.
Wait for pests to take over. Right now, Sage Pest Control makes it easy. New customers get their first treatment for just $19. That's a $199 service for only $19. You save $174. Our friendly, certified techs protect your home inside and out with safe, effective products, so you can relax pest-free. Call Sage Pest Control at 980-580-7276 today. Hurry, this offer won't last.